The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Continue to speak to each and every one of us. Thank you that you've been speaking to us already this morning. And Lord, you know exactly where each and every one of us is at this morning on our spiritual journey. Lord, some of us have had great weeks, but some of us have had really tough ones. Some of us have had people speak words of life into our souls, and others have spoken words into our lives that have hurt us and have been far from encouraging. Some of us, and probably all of us to some degree, are struggling in areas of sin. So Lord, I want to, on behalf of my church this morning, just say sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord, for the moments this week that we have drifted from pleasing you in our actions, drifted from pleasing you with our words, drifted from pleasing you in our thoughts. Please forgive us. And please continue that work in our souls of making us more and more like you. Our hearts are open. So please, by your Spirit, speak to us. Challenge us. Call us. Change us. And speak words of revelation and life into us today. I pray. In the beautiful, in the wonderful, in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So, church, who do you think we are? So far, Paul, who is the writer of the book of Ephesians, has done a phenomenal job of helping us answer this question, the question to our series entitled, Who Do You Think We Are? He's preached that God has made us and chosen us to live a life of praise. Amen. That through Christ we are redeemed, we're forgiven, that we're sealed by the Spirit. The Spirit is a deposit, an amazing deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. He then prays that we'd have a deep revelation of who He is, so that we can know Him more, and that we would also have a deep revelation of who we are and how we're meant to live. He's preached that we are alive. Who's alive this morning? We're alive. We're here. We're alive in Christ because of His great love. He has called us from distance to nearness. And that closeness that is now available to us is because, and it is made possible because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. He then encouraged us to put off a whole heap of things linked to the old self and to put on a new wardrobe. Some of us like new wardrobes. And that is created to be like God. It's not the clothing type things. And then last time he urged us to see ourselves as children of the light. Who remembers that a couple of weeks ago? You know, no living under a bowl for the Ephesian church. Guess what? No living under a bowl for us here at Life Streams. Now, the first part of the book is all about what God has done for us. It's really clear, isn't it? Man, He's done so much for us. And the second part is all about how that now ought to shape who we are. Our identity is in Him. Our identity is in Jesus. That is who we are, church. We are Christ followers. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, as a prisoner of the Lord, for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Man, there's some meat in those words, hey? Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Essentially, what he's encouraging us to do there is this. Live out who you are. And if you don't get anything else today, that is Paul's big idea of these five verses that we're going to look at this morning. Live out who we are. Now, Let's start reading it. Ephesians 5, verse 15. And it says this. Well, it doesn't really, but I want to start with this. Children of the light. Links back to where we've just been. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are what? Evil. It's interesting how the contrasting metaphor from our previous section of scripture has changed. It was light and dark. That was his metaphor, wasn't it? He's using light and dark. Now it changes into this passage from wisdom to folly. And he links them because he reminds us that our days are dark days. We live in dark days. They were dark days back when Paul wrote this. Maybe they're even darker today. And so this whole concept of light and dark, dark days, I wonder, have you ever decided to walk around in the dark? And because you've decided to do that, you've done that in no shoes, and you've walked up to the edge of a couch and you've whacked your big toe. Who's done that? Now, it hurts, doesn't it, when we stub our big toe? I remember ducking out the back one night, and I didn't have shoes on. I was barefooted, and I remember thinking to myself, gee, it's dark out here. And it must have been, you know, when the moon was not there. And I remember just thinking, man, this is so dark. And then the next minute, literally, I was bang on my face. And I had bruised my ego, and I had a throbbing big toe. And I remember laying there, and I thought to myself, those so-and-so kids, I won't tell you what I said, they leave their stuff lying around everywhere. And anyway, I picked myself up, and I went and turned the light on, which was around the back under our carport. And I turned the light on, and I looked down, and it was actually my bag of tools that I had left there because I was working on some stuff during the day. You know, church, that night I made a dumb decision. And I paid the consequences. And you know, Paul, in this passage, says, be very careful. When you see that, I want you to switch on caps lock, okay? Be very careful. Be very careful to make what? Wise choices. Notice the emphasis. Be very. You know, he could have said, be careful. But be very careful. Do you see that? Do you hear that? It's important. Our decisions are important. And Paul's wanting us to make wise ones. I remember one of my college lecturers say to us, you know what? Class, we are all one poor decision away from making an absolute mess of our lives. And I thought, well, gee, that's a bit full on. But you know what? When you think about that, when you boil that down, what my college lecturer said that day was so true. And I'm pretty sure that's why Paul wants us to be very careful. To be very careful then how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. Remember, it's our call, church, and it's our identity. And in him, you know, that needs to motivate us. Our identity in Christ needs to motivate us to make consistent, wise choices. We've been called to please him. And you might remember that from last time. Verse 10. Find out what pleases him and go after it. So how do we do that? Well, this morning I want to suggest that Paul's got in these five verses two very distinct streams. And so the first stream is just simply that. We need to continue to find out what God wants. And not just find out and not just know about it, but we've got to actually what? Do it! We need to live it out. And then the second stream, which we'll talk about in a moment, is to just simply be filled with the Spirit. be filled with the Spirit. So let's have a look at stream one. Paul's encouraging us to find out what God wants, and he's encouraging us to do it. Let's have a look at verse 17. It says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." If we're going to live out who we are in Jesus, we need to find out what God wants, and we need to go after it with everything that we have. You know, we've got the perfect role model, haven't we? We have one who's gone before us. We have one that we can look to because he's demonstrated exactly what this looks like. Who is that person? Jesus. I just felt like I was in kids' church then. You know how they go, you know, who wrote the book of Ephesians? And they all go, Jesus. And you think, no, it was Paul. But Jesus, it's true. Jesus, the wisest person to ever walk this earth. Jesus was so focused on doing the will of the Father. So focused on what God wanted. He said it, didn't he? Not my will, but yours. He listened, he obeyed, he went, he said, focused on the kingdom of God. What an incredible model for us in this whole area of pursuing the things of God with everything that we have. So practically, how do we do this? Well, I've got a couple of things that I want to suggest this morning. The first one that I want to suggest is we need to surrender to Jesus. All right? How do we do this? How do we know what God wants, and how do we chase after it? Well, we need to surrender to Jesus. Now, I want to ask you this question. Who is in the driver's seat of your life? You? Are you in the driver's seat of your life? Is someone else in the driver's seat of your life? Is Jesus? Has Jesus got hold of the steering wheel of your life? When does Jesus get to drive? Sunday morning? Yeah, we can give him the wheel Sunday morning. Or maybe when I'm tired, you know, Lord, I'm just so tired. Yeah, here's the wheel. Or what about that classic thing we humans do, that when we're in a bit of a pickle, or when something's not going right, or there's a challenge that we're facing, life's a bit messy. Oh, gee, oh, Lord, I can't do this. Here's the wheel. You know, if we're going to find out what God wants and do it, we need to say, church, we need to say, Jesus, you lead. You lead, Jesus, and I will follow. You drive. And if we're continually handing over the wheel and then we're grabbing it back again, you know what? That scripture in verse 17, what does that say? It says we're fools if we do that. We're foolish. Now, if you don't have Jesus in the driver's seat of your life, if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, you're here this morning. Can I encourage you to do that today? To go, hey, it's time. Time for me to surrender. Here, Jesus. And you know what, church? That is the first step to understanding what God wants for our life. Handing over control. Surrendering. The second thing I want to say this morning that will hopefully help us in this is we need to follow his lead, don't we? Make it your life goal to imitate Jesus. Study how he treated people. What he said. What his focus was on. How his relationship with God was, with his Father. Look at his rhythms of life. What an incredible man. Wow. You know, there is none like him. We just sung about that. And unlike the other men that we can sometimes look up to, sometimes there's earthly men that we go, wow, I'd like to be like that person and imitate that person. Guess what? Jesus will never let you down. So we need to follow his lead. Third thing is that I want to say is we need to soak our lives in the Word of God, in God's Word. You know, when I was a youth pastor, I remember having several conversations with young people as they're wrestling with this whole concept of, you know, what is God's will for my life? You know, this whole thing of understanding the will of God. And I think most of us want a lightning bolt, don't we? We want God to just go, boom! And all of a sudden, oh, great, I know what God's will is and now I can run after it. Or the burning bush, you know, that burning bush experience. And if we don't get that, we get all offended. Oh, you didn't turn up, God. What's the deal? You know, don't you like me? Or, and we look at other people and they seem to be in the will of God. And we think to ourselves, what about me? What about me, God? And I, you know what I think? I was thinking about this during the week. And I think over the years, we've made this bigger than what it actually needs to be. I actually think if we're surrendered to God, our lives are surrendered to Him, if we're following His lead, you know what? It's hard for us to stuff this up. And I think we've made it bigger because we've elevated the Christians who seem to have it all together and are kind of, you know, in the will of God, and we get them up in front of everyone. We put language to this whole thing of, and I reckon it's pushed this idea of understanding God's will for my life. It's actually pushed it out of the grasp of ordinary Christians, which is, I'm one of them. You know, we've made it more complex than what it needs to be. You see, and I'm going to say something really stupid here because you'll go, well, you're just kind of arguing against yourself here, but understanding God's will is both complex, but it's also profoundly simple. And all we need to do is soak our lives in the Word of God. Something a lot of us, something that I struggle to do. You know, the pages of the book, there's a picture of a Bible up there. The pages of the book are full of very clear instruction on how to live out the will of God. Aren't they? Let me demonstrate to you very quickly. One very simple verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. It says this, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. You know what? Hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes. But then it goes on and it says, for this is what? God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Who are we? We are followers of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, is it God's will that we rejoice always? It is. Is it God's will for us to pray continually? Is it God's will to give thanks in all circumstances? Well, if it is, then ought we better get on and do it? Profoundly simple and yet complex. All in the same thing. You know, that's that kind of paradox of what we're talking about this morning. You know what, church? We need to find out what He wants us to do. We need to find out who we are in Him and we need to get on and do it. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is we need to pursue the Spirit. Pursue the Spirit. And that leads us actually to our second stream. So it's not really a fourth point of the first one. It's actually a segue into our next stream, which is to be filled with the Spirit. You know, when I was preparing for this message, I got a picture. And I actually think the picture was reinforced at our retreat. The ministry leadership team had a time of planning and praying and looking into 2017 on Monday. And Irene actually got this picture of a cup. And as I've thought about it all week, the picture of the cup has kind of become more clearer for me And this picture is actually a pannikin type cup. Who knows what a pannikin is? Pannikin type cup is one that has got, it's enamel. It's got enamel all around it. You probably see it most likely when people are sitting around up in the bush around a campfire. It's the cup that if you went into an Aboriginal community, they're probably drinking. You know, you see them all the time in the Kimberley, these pannikins. And this particular pannikin is a cup. It's got dents. It's got bruises. And you know what happens when you dent and bruise enamel? It peels away and exposes the bare metal. And then the metal does what? When it's exposed to the elements, it rusts. And when it rusts, it gets holes in it. So there's this picture of a cup. And this cup had streams of living water just pouring into it. And it was flowing over. And it was flowing over. It was filling up. It was flowing over. It was flowing so hard that you know what? It didn't matter that it had holes in it. It didn't matter that the cup was broken, that the cup was bumped, that it was used and abused. It didn't matter it had holes in it. You know what? That cup is us. That cup represents our lives. Bumped and bruised, used and abused, broken. Holes in it. That's my life. And you know, some of us have stubbed our big toe in the dark on several occasions. From our poor decisions, we leak life fractured. But because of what Jesus has done, He fills us with His Spirit, this stream of living water, His life-giving, life-nourishing streams of living water, so that, you know what, church? We can join with Him in making the most of every single opportunity that He gives us to bring life to those in our world who have not yet entered into the dance that we enjoy. And it's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, he says, do not get drunk on wine. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to decisions, making decisions where you bump your big toe. Leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with what? The Spirit. You know, Paul again uses a contrasting metaphor here. He uses the metaphor of being drunk on wine with being filled with the Spirit. And so, as I was kind of thinking about that, doing a bit of reading, I came across a message by Rob Reamer. Rob Reamer's a guy that I just get a lot out of. He's going to be speaking here next year. Just written a new book, Soul Care. It's the book that a number of us have read about being river dwellers. But in a message I heard preached by him, he says that Paul is wanting us to, instead of being under the influence or intoxicated with alcohol, which can lead to unwise decisions, can lead to us stubbing our toe, he wants us to be under the influence and intoxicated with the Spirit of God. He goes on to say that those who are under the influence of alcohol will often do things and say things that they normally wouldn't do. Who's seen that? It's called Dutch courage. And the reality is that when we're full of the Spirit, when our cup is overflowing, we may do things and say things that we wouldn't normally do or say. And we're prepared, because we're full of the Spirit, to move out of our comfort zones, empowered and equipped for mission. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be a part of His kingdom mission. And He gives us His Spirit so that we can make the most of every single opportunity to see lives transformed and to see His kingdom come. He wants us to join with Him on His great rescue mission. I mean, how awesome is that? So, how are we filled with the Spirit? How do we walk more in the fullness of the Spirit? Well, a couple of things I want to suggest as we close today. Firstly, we need to want more. You know, I've put up there, you know, we need to be hungry. Hungry for more. Who's hungry this morning? We need to pursue the Spirit. We've been saying this all year. Pursue the Spirit like we never have before. We need to pursue intimacy with God. We need to walk close with Him, and we need to worship. Now, I'm convinced, as I think about worship, worship's like, to me, like an arrowhead. Worship has the ability to help us penetrate into the presence of God. An arrow, if you take a close look, an arrow has sort of two edges to it, doesn't it? And as I was thinking about these two edges, I was thinking, well, the first edge has to be about the Romans 12 type of worship. You know, the Romans 12 type of worship where Eugene Peterson puts it as, take your everyday, your ordinary life and place it before God as an offering. Do you see that? Our whole lives are an offering. Our whole lives are worship. Worship is expressed through how I go about it every single day, 24/7. It speaks of surrender. It speaks of this willingness to go, here, God, you drive. And the second edge, I believe, is worship expressed in community. It's when we gather together on a Sunday or during the week or in maybe our life groups or even in our families. It's when we read in verse 19, it's when we speak to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty clear. And I'm absolutely convinced that we have been created. We were created to enter His courts with what? Thanksgiving and praise. That we have been created to worship and serve the Lord with gladness, not with sadness and not with madness, but with gladness. And I haven't made that up. Just have a read of Psalm 100. This afternoon, when you get home, I'm convinced that we've been created to sing and make music from our hearts to our Lord. And I'm convinced that we've been created to do that even when we're not under the influence of alcohol, because I think most Australian men only sing when they're under the influence of alcohol. Because a lot of Australian men. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, you know what? We do things and we say things in our own flesh we wouldn't normally do. It overflows. And I don't know about you, but when I walk into a church that is engaged in passionately doing what Paul is encouraging us to do in that verse 19, I get drawn in. It's intoxicating. And it's encouraging. And something jumps, something leaps in my soul. And I'm lifted. And I think to myself, wow, these people actually believe that God is here. Church, you know, we've got so much to be grateful for, haven't we? So much. We got so much to sing about. And I believe Paul very clearly encourages us there. That when we worship, we're walking in the fullness of the Spirit. The second thing that we can do is make a conscious decision to position ourselves in God's presence. And you know what, church? This is going to cost. This is going to cost you. This is going to mean sacrifice. This is going to mean worship. And this might mean that you may need to reframe or change your attitude to worship to what we do here on a Sunday. Maybe that needs to be reformed in you. It might mean that you need to have churches as a higher priority in your list of priorities as a family, and maybe it's going to bump up a bit in your family schedule. It might mean that you need to take a risk. And there are some of us who go, oh, you know what, I'd never go on a retreat. Whew, that's a huge step. Maybe that's what you need to do, and maybe can I encourage you to plan to do that next year? Spiritual retreat. It might mean taking the Sabbath more seriously. We're going to roll some of that thinking out. The staff just went recently on a retreat, and our topic was Sabbath. And we believe God spoke to us fairly clearly about some of that. We want to talk to you about that soon. But taking the Sabbath more seriously, which could mean changing some things up, the way you see Sunday. Or maybe it could be as simple as, you know what, I'm going to start my day focused on you, God. So what fills you? What helps you? What is a pathway for you that you can go down that will help you enter into the presence of God? That's the second thing. The third thing that we can do is a simple one. And that is simply ask to be filled with the Spirit. You know, Paul says that in order for us to live out who we are called to be, we need to find what God wants and we need to do it, and we need to be filled with the Spirit. So who wants to be filled with the Spirit? You know, church, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand if you want to be filled with the Spirit. And you might be sitting there thinking, and I've done it too. Oh, here we go again. I'm going to be forced into doing something that I don't want to do. Well, guess what? You don't have to do anything. If you don't want to be filled with the Spirit, that's okay. There's going to be no judgment here. But if you want to be filled with the Spirit, I'm going to ask you to stand. And then I'm going to pray a very, very simple prayer over us as a church. And then we're going to sing. We're going to sing that brilliant new song that we've sung for the first time today. And during that time, we want to give you a little bit of space. A little bit of space for you to respond as the Spirit leads. So if you want more, so if you are hungry this morning, if you want to give your life to Jesus for the very first time this morning, if you want to live in the fullness of the Spirit, if you want to join Him in kingdom mission, if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, then I want to simply ask you to stand. Stand right here, right now.
As we listen to you, Lord God, we seek your Spirit, Jesus. I believe in the tongues of fire that come across people here. I believe in the tongues of fire that turn into a burning fire that burns up the dross and leaves the purity and leaves the gold. And these people, Lord God, I believe in the people. I believe as you speak to them that they see the rain and they feel the rain, and it floods them and it fills them. It fills them like a river. Jesus. I believe in the still small voice that speaks to us as individuals. Heavenly Father, speak to us in your still small voice that comes as your Spirit that becomes a howling wind that consumes all of the earthly things that hold us back. We come to the river, Lord God. We're going in. We're going into the river. We're going deep. As the song says, in over our head. I want to be caught in the rush, lost in the flow. In over my head I want to go. Caught in the river, Lord God. Fill this place, fill these people with the still small voice, with the rushing wind, with the tongues of fire, with the burning of your Spirit, with the rain of your Spirit, and with the river of your Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. We give you permission. We open ourselves to you. We want to be the river people. We want to be the Spirit people. We want to be your Son people. We want to be Jesus people. And we sit as your sons and daughters at your seat, Heavenly Father. Amen and amen and amen.